So today morning we are reading from 8th Canto, chapter 22, text number 14. So I will just read the translation from the verse number 12 and 13, and then we'll recite the text number 14. Shishuka uvacha tasetam bhasmanasya prahrado bhagavata priya ajagama kurusheshtha rakapatir ivotitaha. Translation. Shukdeva Goswami said, "O best of the Kurus, while Bali Maharaj was describing his fortunate position in this way, the most dear devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there like the moon rising in the night time. Tamindasena Sopita Mahashya Virajamanam Naline Ketashanam Pramshum Prasangabaram Anjan Tusham Pralamba Bahum Shubhag Brhyam Aikshatat." Then Bali Maharaj saw his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, the most fortunate personality, whose dark body resembled black garments. He had long arms and his beautiful eyes were like the petals of a lotus. He was very dear and pleasing to everyone. So text number 14, we'll recite this verse. Tasmai balir varun pashi yantritaha samaram no pajahar purvat purvavat nanama mudha shiro vilol lochana savrid nichina mukho babuvaha. What to a translation? Tasmai, unto Prahlad Maharaj, Balihi, Bali Maharaj, Varunapashe Yantritaha, being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Samarahanam, befitting respect, na, not, Upajahara, offered, Purvavat, like before, Nanama, he offered of obeisances, Murdhana, with the head, Ashru Vilola Lochana, eyes inundated with tears, Savrida, with shyness, Nichina, downward, Mukha, face, Babuvaha, he so became. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears and his face lowered in shame. Please repeat the translation. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj. as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears, and his face lowered in shame. Purport. Since Bali Maharaj had been arrested by the Lord Vamandev, he was certainly to be considered an offender. Bali Maharaj seriously felt that he was an offender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly, Prahlad Maharaj would not like this. Therefore, Bali Maharaj was ashamed and hung his head. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially Maharaj's blessings, so that I can do this service. So right now, it's a few days back we were hearing that the climax of the whole discussion is happening when Bali Maharaj is turning into a Mahajan. But I would say that actually the real climax is here when Prahlad Maharaj is appearing in front of Bali Maharaj. And and we can see here Srila Prabhupada is saying, describing how beautiful the appearance of Prahlad Maharaj was, that while Bali Maharaj was describing his fortunate position in this way, the most dear devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there like the moon rising in the night time. The Bali Maharaj saw his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, the most fortunate personality, whose dark body resembled black ointment for the eyes. His tall, elegant figure was dressed in yellow garments. He had long arms. His beautiful eyes were like the petals of a lotus. He was very dear and pleasing to everyone. So the presence of a pure devotee is so pleasing and so purifying, you know. But here we are the Bali Maharaj is in a situation where he is bound by the ropes of Varuna. And now in front of him, Prahlad Maharaj has appeared and he wants to express or pay his obeisances. But it's very difficult in a situation where your hands and legs, everything is bound, and Srila Prabhupada appears in front of us, and how will it be, you know. So, but here the kind of feelings Bali Maharaj is going through is very instructive for all of us to learn and to imbibe in our personal lives. So the translation goes like this, that Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being undated with tears and his face lowered in shame. Like this, he was lowering and, you know. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Bali Maharaj had been arrested by Lord Vamande. Now he has been arrested. It's like, you have been arrested by the Lord. So the word is very significant. He has been arrested by the Lord that you are an offender. This word is very significant. Once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada that, how long it takes you to write one purport? Srila Prabhupada says, for me it will take just 15 minutes if I want to write for myself. But if I want to write for all of you, then it may take me few weeks. So Srila Prabhupada's words are very thoughtfully and very significantly chosen to give us a feel of the whole situation, that as to what is happening here. To actually take us into the pastime, basically. And Srila Prabhupada is actually into it, that Srila Prabhupada is saying that Bali Maharaj had been arrested by Lord Vamande. When is the arrest is made? When somebody is a criminal or he has done some kind of a bad activity, and then finally we say, now he has been arrested. This particular person has been, or a particular militant has been arrested. So similarly, therefore Srila Prabhupada is writing, he was certainly to be considered an offender. And then Prabhupada says that Bali Maharaj seriously felt that he was an offender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I was discussing with one senior devotee and they were telling me that how pure devotees, they take even the smallest of the things very, very seriously. Even a insignificant kind of a mistake, they take it very, very seriously. Although, if you see that, it's a cheating from the side of the Lord, basically. It's not a mistake of Bali Maharaj. And still, Prabhupada is saying he is an offender. I was very surprised when I read this, and even Prabhupada is saying that he was an offender. And then, even Bali Maharaj, although there is no fault from his side, but still, he is feeling that, yes, I am an offender and I have committed a mistake. I promised for 3 steps. I could only give 2 steps. I could not fulfill the promise. Just like the dynasty of, I am coming from a dynasty of Prahlad Maharaj, and where I am not able to actually glorify Prahlad Maharaj. Therefore he is feeling, his head is lowered in shame, his eyes are inundated with tears, and he is trying to offer the obeisances to Prahlad Maharaj with this feeling that, just see, I could not fulfill my promise, I could not fulfill my vow, for which I could not glorify the parampara. So with this feeling, he's offering these obeisances, and he's actually feeling that, yes, it's a mistake from my side. When sometimes we commit a mistake, that we don't accept that it's a mistake. We don't accept it. We are not saying that, oh, it's okay, chalta hai, this is fine. But here, apparently there's no mistake, but still, he's accepting that, yes, it is a mistake, and Prahlad Maharaj would not like this. Therefore, so this is a very deeper platform of pure devotional service, where one is considering the interest of Guru Parampara, where, like, we are all representing Srila Prabhupada in some capacity through our dress, through our tilak. So we have to be very, very conscious that whom we are representing, especially when we are dealing with the visitors or when we are going out and preaching in book distribution. So our behavior should be such that we should be feeling the presence of Srila Prabhupada and his and Parampara members. Similarly, here in this case, Prahlad Maharaj is himself appeared there in front of Bali Maharaj, and you know, although pure devotees, they are always feeling the presence of Krishna in their life. They are always conscious of Krishna. But here, so he is feeling that, oh, I could not glorify the parampara of Prahlad Maharaj by not being able to fulfill my promise to Prahlad Maharaj. So if we see that in this case, there is no mistake, but still he's feeling that I have committed a mistake. So sometimes when we commit mistakes, we don't accept that it's a mistake. We don't feel regret about it when we commit a mistake. Just like we in the case of Ashwatthama, although he is a son of Dronacharya, and he kills the 5 sons of Draupadi, and then he gets those 5 heads to Duryodhana. And Duryodhana, he was very angry on him. He said, why have you killed them? Duryodhana was not very pleased with this behavior of Ashwatthama. And Ashwatthama, he was not feeling that it's a mistake. He was not feeling any shame about it. He was not at all feeling that he is displeasing his master Duryodhana. So sometime when we say, many times we use the word sorry, but sorry and thank you actually they are very heavy words. Sorry and thank you should be with the feeling of repentance. Actually, I have committed a mistake and I am saying sorry. Now it has become a very common word, saying sorry. Oh, sorry Prabhu, I'm very sorry. Like while walking, we step on someone's feet, or you know, happen to touch, oh, I'm sorry about it. It's just become a kind of a, you know, way to speak, or just a way to express yourself like that. So sorry means, first of all, there are 3 aspects to say sorry. The first aspect is that you are recognizing that it's a mistake. That is the first aspect, that we have recognized that, yes, I have committed a mistake. Second thing, we are accepting that I have hurt or harmed someone's heart, or I have given some inconvenience to someone. And the third one is said, and the third aspect is that, to say that I will not do it again. And Ashwatthama, he was not at all having any repentance for the mistake. It was a very grave mistake, although. So Srila Prabhupada says that there is a lot of power in saying sorry, when it is said with the feeling of repentance. Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of the purport that the fire of repentance can burn all the sins. If we have this repentance feeling, then it can burn all the sins and all the mistakes we have committed. And asking for forgiveness is a very natural quality of a Vaishnava. And we can see in this case of Bali Maharaj that how he very gracefully accepting his mistake, even if it is embarrassing. So Vaishnava, he accepts his mistake very gracefully, although it may be very embarrassing. So first thing is to accept it, or recognize it, then accept it, and then not to do it again. But not to do it again is only possible when we have sufficiently repented about it. If we have not sufficiently repented about it, then we are sure to commit it again. Just like we see the example of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was feeling that he is the cause of killing so many people. He is the cause of this battle. And he had been repenting for 3 months he was repenting. And Krishna had to wait for Yudhishthira Maharaj before leaving for Hastinapur when he was repenting and make him counsel and take him to Bhishma Pitama. So repentance should not lead to lamentation or depression. It should not happen that I am good for nothing, I am always committing mistake, I am useless, let me commit suicide, I cannot do any good thing. That should not happen. When we have repented sufficiently, then we should reinstate ourselves. That now I should go ahead with my life. I should not just, keep on, brooding over it. I have committed a mistake. I have committed a mistake. I have done this mistake. Some people have this habit of just, brooding over it. They just keep thinking about it that I am good for nothing. So that is not proper attitude. So when a Vaishnava commits a mistake, he goes and reveals to some confidential Vaishnava that, Prabhu, this mistake has happened by me. So please, whatever way you want to punish me or give me solution to it. So what will happen when we go and speak to a Vaishnava, a confidential Vaishnava, then what happens that we are embarrassing ourselves. We are humbling ourselves in front of a Vaishnava. That is called Paschatap. Paschatap has a word called tap. Generally we talk about the tritap. Tritap means the suffering. So when we express our mistake to someone, then what happens? Someone means not to a materialistic person, because Bhakti Vinod Thakur warns us that we should not go and open up our heart to the materialistic people. We should go to a very senior Vaishnava and express our mistakes to them. And by expressing our mistakes, what happens is we are going through some embarrassment. And that embarrassment leads to some purification of the heart. So therefore it's very, very important to have at least one trustworthy relationship where one can reveal his heart. As Rupa Goswami says that, Guhyam Akhyati Prichyati. Confidentially, one can go and express his heart to someone. But the general tendency is to, whenever the mistake is committed, let's hide it. That's the Western culture. Western culture is a carpet culture. Everything is carpeted. Inside there is so much dust, but there is no cleanliness. So it is said the hiding is in the mode of ignorance. When do we hide? When it is dark, when there is no light, when it is darkness, then we try to hide. So hiding is actually in the mode of ignorance. Just like sometime when we are chanting and somebody wakes us up while chanting Hare Krishna, and immediately we show that I have not committed a mistake. We don't even admit or accept it that I did a mistake, I was sleeping that time. We don't accept it. So first step, the first step to rectify is only lost. But our Vaishnava Acharyas, by their behavior, they show that how they, time to time, they feel that how they are full of mistakes. Like Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, Ami Vishayi Durjana Sada Kamarat Kichu Nahi Moragun. They don't think that they have a lot of good qualities. They always feel humbled, contemplating upon their mistakes that I am always an offender, aparadi nirantar. Sometimes we think that, at least I think that, I don't want to say we think, that I am a very good devotee and I am not committing any mistakes. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhure Kadambani says that no one can say that I am not committing any offenses or any mistakes. Then he says why? He says that because we are not, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, then we are not going through the ecstatic symptoms in our body. Romancha Kampa Shrutaranga Bhajo. We are not going through these symptoms. So we cannot say that I am not committing any offenses. So there are different types of mistakes or offenses we may happen to commit, like offenses knowingly committed and unknowingly committed. Unknowingly also we happen to hurt someone or say someone. We may not have the intention to hurt someone, but what happens in the course of talk, or we may be doing something and one may feel hurt or bad by our behavior. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that if you come to know, then we must beg forgiveness from that person. If we know that we have hurt someone, it requires a lot of humility. At least right now I don't have that kind of courage, but I'm just trying to aspire for this kind of quality. But so it is said that so we have to ask forgiveness from the Vaishnava even for unknowingly committed offenses. Suppose you feel that it will be very embarrassing and very difficult to ask forgiveness from that person, then the solution is given that then we should chant incessantly. We should go on chanting incessantly, feeling that I am an offender and I have committed offenses. Then that will help us overcome. But then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds that chant incessantly but without eating anything, or eating very little. So this is for the unknowingly committed mistakes or offenses. But if we know that we have actually hurt someone, we should go or beg forgiveness from the Vaishnava. Even holding malicious feelings for someone or bad feelings for someone can actually suck out the taste from chanting the holy name, take away the taste from chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, even if we are holding some negative feelings. So what we have to do is to go and beg forgiveness or pay obeisances. If you are not able to pay obeisances personally to the devotee, at least from a distance, we should pay obeisances and beg forgiveness from him. Some days back, Maharaj was stressing that how in Vrindavan we are very lazy to pay obeisances. We don't pay obeisances to each other. We don't pay obeisances to seniors. We don't pay obeisances to Srila Prabhupada disciples. We don't pay obeisances to sannyasis. So this is a very important culture of Vrindavan, where our acharyas like Goswamis used to pay obeisances, counting it. Sankhya purvak namagana nativi. And one of the quality of Raghunath Das Goswami has been mentioned, that Raghunath Das Goswami, he used to pay 1,000 obeisances and feeling that he is an offender. He has actually offended someone. He is always offended. So in that mood, actually with this consciousness, if we think with this consciousness, we can actually be inspired to pay obeisances to others. Because we are always doing something, we are actually committing offenses or mistakes, and hurting someone's heart. Suppose you go and ask a Vaishnava forgiveness, but that doesn't work. You go and say forgiveness and ask forgiveness that, Prabhu, I'm very sorry that I've committed no offense, and that Vaishnava doesn't give any response, then one has to chant incessantly, as we discussed, without eating or very little eating. But first of all, we have to try the first step, then going and asking forgiveness. And another question comes is that sometime you may say that he's a pure devotee, he's a pure soul, he's a senior devotee, he may not take offenses. How can I commit offenses? Because he may not take offenses. Generally, we should never take offense. It is said, an offense to me is a minor offense, an offense to others is a major offense. Sometimes in our talks we say, Prabhu, don't offend me. Don't say like this. I am feeling offended. Sometimes in our general talks, devotees happen to talk like this, that please don't offend me. We don't take offense. We should not take offense. We should always be in a mood to forgive others. It is this forgiveness of this quality of forgiveness is what can bring unity among association of devotees. So although a senior Vaishnava may not take offense, but Krishna takes it seriously, like in the case of Lord Nityananda or in the case of Haridas Thakur, Krishna takes it seriously. Krishna takes that upon himself. So, and sometime we may say that, oh, he is a very new devotee, how can an offense be to him? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that even an offense or a mistake committed or a speech spoken hurtfully to an occasional chanter is also a kind of offense. Even an occasional chanter also, if we speak in a way it may hurt someone, is also lead to an offense. Therefore we should go and beg forgiveness. Even to a new bhakta who has just joined and he has dedicated his life for Srila Prabhupada's mission, we can't take him, oh, he is a new bhakta, and hey, new bhakta, either come here. We may say like this, but it could lead to an offense and can hurt someone. So as we were discussing that, we should not hide, we should go and reveal our mistakes. When mistakes happens, then it's very important that how we deal with the mistakes. Just like our acharyas, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when mango was brought by his father at home, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur happened to take it, and then immediately Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took a vow that whole life, I take a vow that whole life I am not going to eat mangoes. So we also take vow in front of spiritual master and fire and Krishna, that to the spiritual master that I'll try to follow the four regulative principles, try to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra and study Srila Prabhupada books every day. But we just don't commit to our vows. We are not committed to our vows. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as a small 5-year-old child, what is the mentality of a 5-year-old child? What a seriousness. This is Acharya. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's behavior showed how he took the mistake seriously. So that's how Bali Maharaj, here he's saying that he was an offender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we see in the case of Madhavendra Puri, that how when Madhavendra Puri wanted to offer the same sweet rice to Gopalji and just had a desire to taste it, immediately he felt that I have committed a mistake. Therefore, in our deities, when the bhoga is being cooked, bhoga is being offered or taken to the Lord, it is always being covered so that nobody sees it and have a feeling that I want to taste it before Krishna tastes it. Because we are not enjoyers, we are servants. Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the bhogi. We can't enjoy anything. So this is the way we can, this is one of the lessons we can learn from the discussion. So we should be very careful to speak words like sorry, thank you, because they are very heavy words. It should be actually spoken with the real feeling of repentance. At least once in a day, we should practice it, that we speak this sorry or thanks with the proper feeling, that feeling of repentance, so that we don't commit the mistake again. Also, if you like that, you can also check or correct your mistake at the level of the behavior and at the level of the consciousness. At the level of the behavior, we can suppose we can pay obeisances and ask forgiveness. At the level of the consciousness, we can cultivate this feeling of repentance and thus improve upon our consciousness. Hare Krishna. There is one example of Abhiram Thakur being given, who used to pay obeisances, and the deities used to break, and if the person whom is paying obeisances is not a pure devotee, then he'll die. So of course, that kind of obeisances we can't pay, or we are just sharing the example. So there is a great mercy in paying obeisances. It's a way to access the blessings or the quality of a person whom we are paying obeisances. Suppose you are paying obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, then if you are paying obeisances with the heart, then actually you are accessing the qualities of Srila Prabhupada. So even the people whom we are training, whom we are guiding, we should also ask them forgiveness if we happen to hurt them or trouble them. We should not think that I am a senior and he is a junior, he just came and it's no problem now. No, but it can lead to feeling of hurt to some. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Anybody would like to give any corrections, or Maharaj would like to give any comments? Maharaj. Maharaj is saying thank you, and I am sorry. I am very sorry, Maharaj, that I have overspoken and went beyond my adhikar to speak like this in front of you. So I really beg forgiveness. Yes, please.
So Bhaktisiddhanta said, be strict with yourself and lenient
to others. Yeah.
Also, Srila Prabhupada and Bhagavad Gita, he said that we should speak nicely and sweetly to others, even not the devotees. But he said that it's the duty of the guru often to speak a little harshly, to chastise or correct the disciple. But if it's not your disciple,
right,
it's not really your business to speak harshly or criticize.
Right. So Prabhupada is bringing a very important principle, that who can correct whom? Generally, I tell devotees when they're staying in one room, always some kind of internal war goes on. Prabhu, he has taken my chatai, or he has taken this. So I first moment they get into the room, we tell them that you are not supposed to correct each other. Because if you correct each other, you will fight. You are supposed to inform the authorities. So generally it happens that we happen to correct. It is said correction is like putting a molten iron in the ear of a person. Molten iron, melting iron, it is burning, and then you put a burning iron in the ear of a person. So how will he feel? You know, he'll feel burned if you don't have any relationship with him. So just like you said that Prabhupada chastised, but Prabhupada chastised out of great love and, you know, his devotion to them for their benefit. So therefore everybody who was chastised felt very happy that Prabhupada chastised me. So we can't chastise, we don't have that adhikar to speak strongly. Sometime back I saw one book written by one sannyasi, Right to Speak Strongly. It was, I never read that, but I just read the topic on the book. It was written that who has a right to speak strongly, but we can't speak strongly. We can just request them that, Prabhu, would you like to do this seva, or would you like to do it like this? But we can't say so strongly, as Prabhuji said. Yes, Prabhu?
Right. No, as you were saying, that if you are offering it to someone, and somebody, we have not done anything, and somebody claims that you have done this in that way, so in that way, what we should do?
If we are being blamed for something we have not done, it's a very difficult situation. We can express to someone whom we have a confidential relationship, who understand us. Because telling to that person will not be, because it is said that if we are being blamed in this life for something, that means in the previous life we have taken credit for something we have not done. So this way we can take it, one way. But another way is that we can express it to someone who understands you and who feels that you may not have committed a mistake, but it may be a misunderstanding. But it's very difficult to resolve the misunderstanding. Even among pure devotees there are misunderstandings. So misunderstandings can only be resolved when there is a Krishna factor in between, you know. So we can just pray to Krishna and be in our heart, be genuine that I am right what I have done. And we can take it also, if you have that kind of devotion, then you can take it as a Krishna's arrangement for you, that if Krishna is arranging this to happen for me, it may be perfect. Like Vidura was kicked out from the kingdom and he just thought that let me go out and now travel and associate with devotees. So so it depends upon our level of consciousness, how much we can take what, because we should always practice Krishna consciousness with our realizations. We should, when we hear such examples, we should not just jump upon applying these principles, but we should take inspiration from our superiors and our acharyas and from Srimad Bhagavatam characters, to take inspiration from them. So to the degree whatever we can apply, we can do that.
Sometimes we should accept whatever the blame is given to us. But yeah, when the blame is given to us, we take to Lord, okay, you just blame me, now you take care of me. So Lord will take care of you. I told one of my friends, whatever you are telling me is false, and if anything happens, Lord will take it. But I pray to God, Lord, let me stop you. We must get done anyway.
Maharaj want to say something.
If you are being blamed for what you did not do, you don't have to say anything. One who is in the platform of truth, he doesn't have to explain anything. One who is telling lie, he explains too much.
Very beautiful.
Talks too much.
Very beautiful. So Maharaj is saying that if you are actually walking on the path of truth, then you don't have to be worried.
But those who are liars, they make so many excuses, so many reasons, so many ways. What is that? There is one great writer.
Yeah,
he says, if you are telling the truth, you don't have to remember anything. If you are telling the truth, you don't have to remember anything. If you're telling lies, you think of many ways how to get away from it, from the truth.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Not to go in depression.
Like, we see at least in the realistic way, like, if a lot of people go because of their different situations, they go in depression. So how do different situations of practitioner from this lot of people?
So Prabhuji is asking that how, when we are repenting, so repentance should be done in a proper limits. Should not be done, you know, too much also that we may be going in a depression kind of a situation. So it has to be done in a very balanced way. It has to be started slowly, gradually, and then you have to go deep into it, repenting the mistake. If you do it too much, then you may go into the depression surely. So it has to be done in a very careful way. It's a very important point what you have raised, that it has to be done in a very careful way. Should not be just, I have committed a mistake, because you just keep on thinking upon the mistake, then you cannot improve also. So it has to be done carefully and in a balanced way. Yeah, it has to be guided properly. Yeah, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam Purana ki, Jai Gaur Premanandi.